one was from Whitewater, and one was from a group of ex-Army people here in town. Now, if I hadn't gone out there, I'd kept still. I'd have been better off.
Well, you told me that you were interested in the...
That's how I got interested in this Circus Stand Association.
I don't quite see the connection. So from Buffalo Bill, you mean?
Well, he ran the biggest circus in the world.
Yes, I guess. Well, you've talked about him some, and I knew you had known him. Or
run the biggest circus, they call it a circus, operations in the world. Of course, the whole thing developed in my hometown, and that's
yes.
How I got interested at an early age in that sort of thing.
So that really has been a lifelong interest.
And it still continues. One of the radio stations, or television stations, had a new film on Buffalo Bill about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, did they? Well, he's certainly a name that most people know.
Well, there was a little girl out at this meeting at the Lutheran Church from France. When I got to, she comes and says, "We know all about Buffalo Bill in France."
She did?
That's how I got interested in the Circus Fans Association.
That pretty much covers all of the questions I had.
All the devilment I got into.
Are there any areas that you think we might discuss that we haven't touched on?
Well, I don't know of any.
Well, in that case, thank you very much for your time. Tell me about this 6:30 gang.
Well, I was... The 6:30 gang was a group of high school boys who got into some sort of difficulty with the police department. And they all got taken into court. And they were fined $6.30 apiece. And that was the genesis of the 6:30 gang, which was organized in that high school. The kids never heard about it. Well, personally, I wasn't in the 6:30 gang because they got all the kids up in court. I was out of town. There were two of us went out of town, and we didn't get caught in it. But you know, that 6:30 business created more interest in that high school out there.
Well, I bet. How big a group was this?
Oh, there must have been about 10, 15.
Good heavens.
I told you about the high school bell that we used to ring out there to get the kids into school.
I'm not sure you did.
Well, we had a janitor in high school who was a plumber by trade. He gave it up and became janitor in the high school, and he liked to associate with all the kids. We got to know old Hans pretty well, and one of his jobs was to go out every for class and ring his bell to call the kids into school. Mm-hmm. Well, when my class graduated, the bell disappeared. And they could never find it. They made every effort to find it. But for some reason or other, it came into my possession. And when I went out to present this scholarship to them, I took the bell along. They didn't know about it.
This was years later?
Well, this is a couple of years ago.
Many years later. You'd had it all along?
Well, I had it all along, but I couldn't account for just how I got it.
Oh.
And, I don't want to find up the
plaque to go with the mail?
And the plaque didn't turn out very well, so I had to have another one made. I kept the original. It was so hard to read that I had another one made for them.
This handbell, used in the early 1900s to summon students to classes in the North Platte High School, was lost for nearly 70 years. Finally, its whereabouts was discovered and the bell was returned to the North Platte High School on May 22, 1975, by the class of 1906. That was a long time.
So they got this bell in the cabinet out there now, with the plaque in front of it.
Well, that's very good. You said the students out there didn't know about this bell.
No, I never heard of the bell before. The newspapers had a big picture of the bell.
Is it a large bell?
No, it was a handbell. Well, it was probably about 6 or 8 inches at the bottom part. Old Hans, I can see him yet out there ringing that school bell to call the kids in the class. Street in New York City, from the Battery up to the Bronx.
Every street?
And from the East River to the Hudson River.
Over a period of years, I assume.
It took us about 7 weeks.
You set out deliberately to do this?
Yes.
When was this?
I was working in New York City then, and I had a friend who was with American Newspaper Publishers Association, and he used to quit work, I think it was 3:30 in the afternoon. I got through at 4, and we'd get a bite to eat, and we would start in walking. We started in by taking the subway down to the Battery where we started. And then we'd walk the longitudinal streets east and west, and we'd take the cross streets. And we'd walk till later, 9, 10 o'clock at night. Took us about 7 weeks to do the whole business.
My gracious.
We saw more in New York City than most of the people living there.
I bet you did.
We got caught in a riot down in what they call it, the New York School of Social Science or Social Research, something of the kind. We got caught in an explosion in the subway.
I suddenly thought of one last thing. It seems to me you suggested once that you had some background information on efforts by the Regents to find a successor to President Dykstra. Am I correct in that?
Well, I don't remember any specifics of that. Most of my information came after he was employed as president.
I see. Well, I thought before I
remember, I met him the day he drove up in the Ford from Cincinnati.
Yes,
to Madison.
I think you said about that. Tell me about this matter you were just mentioning about Eviu.
You remember when there was an effort being made to buy the Madison Gas and Electric Company, the city to buy the Madison Gas and Electric Company?
Yes.
And Eviu and the Capital Times was pushing it to beat the band. And I was opposing it. And through some arrangement, He got some of the faculty people to write letters to the paper supporting a purchase of the Madison Gas and Electric by the city. And one of these letters was written by, one of my good friends. He just thought he lived out here in Kendall Avenue. Down the club all the time.
Well, they'll come to you.
He's in the social study. He's in experimental college too.
Agard?
Ray Agard. One of these letters was written to the Times and signed by Agard. So I wrote Ray a letter and told me if he could prove any of his statements, I would give the American Red Cross $100. And if he couldn't prove them, he was to give them $100. Of course, it turned out Ray had no information about the statements he'd made, whatever. He couldn't give the Red Cross $100. Well, that's what initiated the fight. I don't know whether Evju got a hold of it or not, but he did. And he started jumping onto me all the time. He even got my income tax report from the state and published it. Every little nasty thing he could think of, he did.
Gracious. I don't see what the point of that would be, the income tax.
And at that time, I was quite active in the Madison Corners Club and also in the Corners Club of the state. I checked up and there wasn't an issue for weeks and weeks. He didn't have something nasty to say about the Corners Club and about me. And the people in the District Corners organization got a little worried about it. And I said, forget it, let him go on. It's the best publicity we ever had. And then we arranged a debate on this question. And there was Jim Law, who was, I don't know if he was mayor at that time or not, I don't think so.
And, Jim who?
Jim Law, the architect. Mm-hmm. And then there was one other, and myself. And we had this debate over on a radio station, I think, was located over in, where was it, the old mining building or some activity of that kind. And, I guess the radio office was down on the Tenney building or somewhere along in there. Remember the night we had this debate, there was a mob of people down there. And I think in the debate we just licked the tail off of them. And Evju was paying for this.
Oh, he was.
Over his radio station. And I made a statement that later Evju said, well, he had known that all the time. Well, I said, you were essentially lying then to the people who said he had Madison. And he practically admitted he did. But he and I got along all right personally. He and I, we went out on a number of trips, but I just couldn't stand some of the things he was doing.
Well, I take it you thought that this kind of taking over of the company was not in the best interest of the city and the
company. That's
right,
and we proved it. One of the retired presidents of Madison Gas and Electric met me the other day and said, you remember that conflag we had with Evju?
Well, I wonder why he was pushing it.
Well, don't get me started on everyone in the Capital Times or Ruby. And I took it from the first issue.
First issue of the paper?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have been a long time reader.
I first met him when he was a member of the legislature. And I can still pick out the seat down in the Senate chamber, which he occupied.
Always the same one?
Well, they always have the same seat signed on the legislature.
How long ago was that?
Oh, that's a long, 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 long time ago. I had been in a number of political fights before, so this was just fun.
I see.
I know John Hunter, the associate editor of the paper, not very well. And you never bring up these things. I don't believe John believes a lot of the things that he does either.